Today, a great friend of this ministry, just so thrilled to have him back, all the way from City Church in Leipzig, Germany. So many of you have heard his testimony of growing up in East Germany, in the communist side of East Germany, and then starting an underground church. God just revolutionized his life, and he has just spent his life since then going around and ministering to people all over the world, from Russia to here to all over Europe and Central America, and he's just a dear personal friend too. So can we just give a big generations willkommen to Pastor Ingolf Schmidt.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for this warm welcome. It's good to see you all in order to come to the United States, because there's still this travel ban for Europeans, and in place I had to go to China for 2 weeks. Excuse me, to Mexico for 2 weeks. Not China, not a good place right now. I'm sorry. To Mexico for 2 weeks, quarantine there for 2 weeks, and then I could come to the United States, and I almost kissed the ground when I landed here. I was very happy about that. Okay, this morning I would like to go with you, and Brother Scott is reading for me. The book of Luke, chapter 19, Luke 19, 37 to 40.
Okay. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out."
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Give him a good hand clap. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for this great opportunity to speak to your people. Help me and help them. Use my words like good seeds in good ground. Holy Spirit, bless everybody in this room. Without your help, I can't do that. But I thank you. You're faithful. So bless this people in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Today is Memorial Day, or tomorrow, Memorial Day weekend. And I'd like to say thank you to all the servicemen here in the United States, because with their sacrifices, it made a big difference. Europe wouldn't look like it looks now without your servicemen and servicewomen, and I want to thank you for that. Jesus is talking in that verses, if we don't praise him, the stones will do that. Of course, we know stones can talk, but if the headstones in Arlington Heights, if they could talk to you today, they would tell you some stories about these fallen soldiers. A stone can't talk, but these stones that was listening to the pastor or who buried that body there. They will tell you, would tell you about the horrific time, but also about the bravery. I was one time in the British Museum in London, and I came by a stone, and it was actually a plate from the city of Nineveh. If that stone could talk, he would tell you a story about one man who saved at least 200, 250,000. I know exactly, I had to look it up. But anyway, he saved the whole city because he was obedient. He didn't like it, but finally he was obedient. He didn't like the people, but he was obedient to God. God loved them. So if that stone could talk, it would tell you the whole story of Jonah. I have an apartment in the city, our capital in Berlin. And when I step out of this apartment, only 300 yards, there are the last remaining pieces of some of the last remaining pieces of the Berlin Wall. If these stones could talk, they would tell you a story about a horrific time, about people who try to overcome these stones, this wall, just for a better life, but they were shut or captured. Stones can talk, but they could testify. They are testimony of some events. In Berlin, there is a museum. We call it the Museum of Pergamon. Pergamon was a city where the Bible tells us there was the throne of Satan. If that throne, or as a young boy, I was in that museum. We don't know where this throne is now because they remodeled it. But if this throne is made out of stones, if these stones could talk, they would tell you horrible stories. There's a reason why the Bible called this altar. It's an altar. Why they call him the throne of Satan. In the Bible, we find some good examples about stones. Of course, stones can talk. But they saw something. They was actually in these events. I hope you understand my English. I'm sorry. My English is a little bit rusty because for 14 months I was not preaching here in America. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, there's a story from a man who his life was a mess. He betrayed his father. He was running away from his brother because he stole his firstborn rights. He stole that from him. And now his brother was after him, ready to kill him. And one night, he was on the run. He put a stone under his head. And that stone would tell you that Jacob saw in a dream the angels of God going up and down. And this stone is a witness that God restored a life. That God was able to change his life. Straightened him out. I don't know what kind of mess you are in. But this stone is a witness for that. I think it was 5 years ago. I went to Norfolk, Virginia. Because my grandfather was a prisoner of war. He was fighting for Adolf Hitler's army. I don't know what he did. He belonged to this generation. They would never talk what they did during World War II. And my grandfather, the American troops, they brought him to Norfolk, Virginia. My grandfather was a mess too. He was in a bad spot there. He suffered there. After 2 years, they brought him back to England. In England, he served another year in a prison camp. After 3 years, he came back home. He signed a document to the American government, he will never touch a gun again. And he never did. 75 years later, I came to that same place where my grandfather served as a prisoner of war. And I stood there, and the Holy Spirit told me and said to me, I changed your family tree. Only God can change something out of a mess and make something good. I did two awesome decisions in my life. Maybe some more, but these two are the major awesome decisions I did in my life. My first was I made Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Forced to be in a communist army. Forced to fight or to protect at least a government or a country I didn't like. I liked the country, but I didn't like the officials because they put us in a big prison. And so finally, I came to the communist army and somebody gave me his witness, his testimony, talked to me, gave me a Bible. And I was reading every night the Bible. And the Bible is addictive, you know, because it's the Word of God. Finally, one day I prayed and I said, God, if you are there, and if I'm qualified, I would love that you take my mess and change it. And from this day on, he changed it. I still was reading the Bible, smoking cigarettes, and drinking alcohol in the same time. But even that, he changed. Because the Word of God is straightening you out. If you're willing, you have to be willing. That was my first decision. One day, I went to my knees, put my machine gun on the side, and I said, Jesus, please, take my mess. And he did. And he changed it. My second best decision was when I was reading the Bible, I found this Bible verse that God will fulfill all your needs. My biggest need was I needed a girl. I said, Jesus, if you can, please give me a good girl. A church girl. Not an ugly one. I like to have a beautiful one, but help me. And he did. In September 13, I'm married to that girl for 43 years. In the Bible, there's another stone. He would tell you a story. It was a rock in the wilderness. When the children of Israel, it's in Exodus 17, when the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, of course they was wore out. They was walking without food and water. And that stone would tell you, they came near my place. They came nearby. And I heard that they was ready to stone their leader because Moses, he had 3 million problems, probably, because there were probably 3 million people. And you will find always some people who blame their mistakes to the pastor. And so they did it with Moses. So we pastors in good company. And so they was ready to stone him. And Moses was crying out for God. And God answered. And he said, take a rod and hit that rock there. And out of nothing, out of the blue, water came out of that stone. that rock. So this stone would probably tell you that God can provide wherever you are, in every time. They needed water, and God provided that. They needed food, and God provided that. You know, my main income comes from my traveling. And last March, all the churches, they stopped having services. They was going online. And I had a problem now because I had no income. Some people came to me and they said, you know, there's nothing wrong with filing for unemployment benefit. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. And I prayed and I said, God, what should I do? And God said, you can take this unemployment benefit or you can believe me. You're a tither, so believe me. But it's up to you. So I tell you, if you're on unemployment benefit, there's nothing wrong with that. It was just a challenge for me. And I said, well, I will trust you. And for 14 months, there was money coming in from every side. Money from people I even don't know. They went to my website and they donated. I found an envelope in my mailbox and it said, men of God, keep running. God is faithful. I told the church, I said, you know, we need to do this, what we learned for many years. We have to go, and I told this morning, I recorded yesterday a message for this morning. We, in Germany, we're still in lockdown. So still can't have church service. What I'm telling you, I heard in Indianapolis or in Chicago, I heard people complaining how bad it is in the U.S. with all the restrictions. You have no idea. We have restrictions. We have the curfew. We have, even today, we have to wear masks everywhere. If I go to a department store, you have to register yourself on their website, sign, make an appointment in a regular department store. Go to take a 24-hour COVID test, and then you can go in with your little app and your mask. Even today, if you go to a department store every day, then you have to take a COVID test every day. So I felt relaxed here when I came to America, and I kind of liked it, you know. So I'm, and of course, everything goes down now, all the infections, so that's a great thing. But my point is actually, God can provide even through COVID. God can provide. God can do everything for you. Amen. You know, I don't know how to say that. You probably facing like a giant right now, like David. He was facing a giant. And there was a rock, a little stone, not big, very small. Nobody paid attention to that little guy. You can't build a house with that. It was not a gemstone. It was just a stone without, a little thing without value. But one day, a little shepherd boy stood by and saw that stone and saw the value in that stone. And he picked it up and put it in his pocket. One day he will use him. And the day came when David put that little stone in his sling and he hit that giant's head. That stone would tell you, I was flying right through that head in his brain. And I killed the giant. I don't know what kind of giant you're facing right now. Last year, no, in 2019, I was in a conference in Florida. And I received a phone call, and my wife was on the phone and said, our daughter is very sick. She got one infection, I don't know how you call it, and the doctor is very concerned about her life, or she can be blindsided. She can become blind. And I did something this morning. You know, you go to a conference, everybody's happy, everybody's dancing. You have to smile because you don't like to be rude to the people. But inside, you see that giant in front of you. And you don't know how to overcome that giant. And so I prayed, I fasted. I gave, and they call it a Shunammite offering. You know, that's an offering, you give some money, but you don't need money in that time, you need a healing. Of course we can't buy a healing or a salvation, but to show your honesty, that's why I did this. How serious that is, I take it. God restored my daughter after a few months. And then in January 2020, the doctor said, your batteries, you know, are still down. Your immune system is totally down to my daughter. And in January, she was working in the UN in Vienna. They have in United Nations, they have a branch in Vienna. And she came in contact with some of the first people from China with that COVID thing. She lost her taste, she lost her smell, the ability to smell, hot, heavy breathing, heavy fever. Again, there was a giant. But again, God killed him. She's doing good now. She's recovering and everything is fine. But you know, sometimes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we have no idea how can we kill this giant. But God is able. He can do everything. I don't know if it's a giant of debt. Is it a giant of an unhealthy marriage? Whatever it is, God is able to do that, to change this. I was one time in Jericho, and I saw some stones there, some rocks there. And these rocks, they would tell you a different story. A story how walls can come down. This Jericho wall was massive. You couldn't overcome this wall. The people of Jericho, they was probably very proud about this. Because nobody conquered their wall. And the children of Israel, they was 12 spies sent to Jericho. 10 of them brought a bad report back. We can't do it. They will kill us. Great fruit there, but. Two of them, they was convinced, we can do it. We can bring it down. But the people, these 10 people, the majority, they convinced them it will be impossible. And so they returned back. And the will of God was put on hold for 40 years. The will of God was right now, but it was put on hold for 40 years because people believed more in what they saw and not in the reality of God's word. Another generation came. You know, today, a mask, it looks to me, is like a political statement in America. Everything is so politicized. And I have people in my church, they strive, not striving, but some stay away from church because we had to wear masks. It's not that we have a dictatorship government. We had a very protecting and a very caring government. And I'm proud about my government, what they did. But it cost division, and that should never happen in a church. Because we are not citizens of this country. We are citizens of God. And the first thing, we have to reach out to our brothers and sisters who are believing different than you maybe in COVID or whatever it is. I preached to my church this morning on video. And I said, we will have to start from scratch. But we will start again. And we will see this wall the enemy has built will come down. There are walls. Thank you, Jesus. There are walls in this country between black and white. It will come down. There are walls between poor and rich. Between husbands and wives, between parents and children. These walls in Jericho, they will tell you, they came one day and they was quiet because Joshua learned a lesson. Don't let the people too much talking when you have this spiritual action going on. Don't let them talk too much. Because sometimes they talk too much about out of their feelings. So they was walking one day around the city. One time on one day. The people from Jericho, they was wondering what they are doing. The stones probably was wondering what they're doing. They are quiet. And they did this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, there was going seven times around, and then they were screaming. And the stones, they was shaking. They would tell we couldn't stay any longer here. Are we falling all down? Because God can bring walls down. There was a man, he had a lot of scars. No, what is it? Scar? Okay, he had a lot of scars on his body. He brought these scars to himself. He was angry about himself. I don't know what it was, but he almost killed himself. But then Jesus came by. And this man, he was sitting or hiding in kind of a rock, on a rock. And this stone would tell you a story about that man. Nobody came close to him because he was demon-possessed. But then Jesus walked by. And the stone would tell you, Jesus delivered that man. In a few seconds, the man was free. Everybody was scared about him, but now he looked like a human being. I was one time in a church in Hungary, and for some reason, something was different than the other years when I came by. And when I came to the pastor's home, I felt something is different here. Next day, Sunday, I should be preaching. So I went to my room and I started praying for hours. And then I went to bed, and next morning, pastor picked me up and we went to the church meeting. And it was a strange feeling in that church. And the pastor gave me the microphone and I I start speaking in tongues. And then I start singing a little bit in tongues. And in 1 minute, 70 people fall down. Some were moving like snakes on the ground. Some people vomited. And the pastor told me, in a few minutes, more than 70 people was delivered from demons. We should, you know, in our Western society, we are so used to all these horror movies and all that things. I tell you, they are still demonic. You know, it's bad for your spirit. Don't take all this just because it's rated number one in the country or whatever, you know. It's still demonic. Why should you bring that to your pure soul and to your pure spirit? In that same church, years later, I had again the same feeling when I came to the church. And then I took the microphone and I spoke in tongues. And I gave the microphone to my interpreter. And I said, ask the congregation if somebody can interpret this speaking in tongues. He said, it's not necessary. I said, what do you mean? He said, you spoke perfect Hungarian. I never learned Hungarian. The only thing I know is God bless you, adio mega zulu. That's the only thing I know. And then I was real concerned because people start crying. I said, what did I say? And he said, you mentioned that Bible verse, you vipers and snakes, you will never inherit the kingdom of God. I said, give me the mic, I'd like to apologize. He said, no, hold on, something is going on. One person after another came, bowed down before the pastor, shook his hand, and asked him for forgiveness. I said, what's going on? And the pastor told me there was two business people in his church. They were manipulating all the people. 85% of the church people belong or working for him in his company. And he said, you all will be laid off if you don't vote this Sunday so the pastor, we can kick him out. They was not happy how he was running the church. So these people, the Holy Spirit, this morning saved that whole church. Why? Because God is still able to cast out demons. And this rock where this demon-possessed man sit on would testify and would praise God if we don't do it. There's another stone. There's another stone or stones. The story is told us in John 8, John's Gospel chapter 8. There was this lady and some Pharisees, they looked into her bedroom. And they found her, she was in that bedroom with another man. And it was not her husband. So they grabbed the stone, everybody grabbed the stone. And they took that lady out, not the man. What I think was wrong. They should even be fair, you know. But anyway, they took that lady. Their goal was to put her before Jesus, and they asked him, our law said she has to be stoned. What do you say? They know Jesus was full of love. Jesus would save and forgive. If you don't like a person, don't throw him before Jesus. Because he always will save that person. He always will deliver that person. They brought her to the wrong guy. In Venice, Italy, there's a church right next to the St. Marcus Square. And there's a painting in it. And that painting is exactly this scene. The woman is laying on the floor. Jesus is writing something in the ground, in that sand. I was always wondering, what was Jesus writing down? And his people, they had their stones in their hand. And the stones would tell you, when these Pharisees saw what he was writing in the sand, they immediately dropped their stones. In that painting in Italy, the artist had this freedom to write their sins of the Pharisees in that ground. Or, like an American comedian said one time, he wrote down all the names of their mistresses. It's another good explanation. I don't know. What I'm saying is, God is still able to save people. Amen. I had a colleague, I was working as an electrician, I had a colleague. One day my boss came to me and said, you know, you need to, I put that man on your side, he's new, you train him, and then, but be careful, he's just out of prison. He killed his son, his child. So, when you work with somebody and you hear this story, you're a little careful. And then I opened up, and I preached to him every day. And then I invited him to my home. And finally, he gave his life to Christ. I still don't know, because he always denied it, that he did this. I don't know. What I know is Jesus saved him. Amen. And one day, he will be in heaven. Amen. I had a friend of mine, he came to our church. And after a few weeks, he got born again. He signed up for the baptism service. One night before the baptism service, he called me and said, please come to my home. I said, why? He said, I have to confess my sins. I said, brother, we are not Catholics. We don't have a confession booth or anything like that. If you told it already, Jesus, it's done. He said, please come to my home anyway. I came to his home, and he said, you know, I am probably your biggest enemy. I said, why? What have you done? He said, you know, I was the major secret policeman, secret service man. I was responsible for our state. And I put your name on a death list. And if the Berlin Wall wouldn't come down, you would be dead today. They built a dam on a river, and underneath that dam, there's a prison. And they had plans to bring all the pastors, all the opposition party leaders, all there, and kill them all. But the Berlin Wall came down. What I'm saying is, this rocks in this Pharisee's hands, they would tell you, if we don't praise him, they would tell you that Jesus is still able to save. This man got saved. On the next morning, we had this baptism service, and I baptized my probably biggest enemy. I always say, I tried to keep him a little bit longer. I had that thought, you know. But I didn't. I did not. There's another rock. And that's, I think, my last rock for this morning. In John 11. one of Jesus' biggest friends died, Lazarus. And there was a huge rock, and they put a hole in. The purpose was to put dead bodies in this, a grave. And they put Lazarus already, he died, they put him, his body in that rock. And Jesus, he had a little delay. He was three days delayed. But he came. Martha and Mary, they was upset. Because if he would be there, he would be alive. But Jesus is not limited. Even a body who stinks already, he's able to restore that person, bring him back to life. You know, maybe your marriage has died. Jesus can bring life again in your marriage, if you like it, if you want it. Maybe your dream died. A lot of people, when they got older, they said, you know, I had someone in my church that, oh, God spoke to me one time to be a missionary. But there was never the right time to do that. I never had the money to do that. I tell you a secret. I never have the money for anything what I'm starting to do. The secret is we are living by faith and not by sight. Amen. So this person never became a missionary and said their dream is gone. And maybe some other dreams are gone, but God can restore everything. Some people left our church. That didn't kill my dream. You know, we had other things going on in our lives already. That little COVID thing, it will not kill us. We just stay in the Word, believe the Word. If you need to be vaccinated, do that. You know, I know that's a controversial thing, you know, but I'm going this afternoon taking my second shot. By the way, there's another thing. In Europe, they will create a vaccine passport. And I can't go to a plane without that passport. And I'm not good swimming when I'm going back, you know. So I need that thing. But that's another deal. All these stones, all these rocks will tell you a story if we are not praising God. I have a friend in Russia, and I never liked Russians until I met him, because they was almost 30 years in our country, occupying our country. I saw these high officers abusing their soldiers, slapping them on the street and treating them like slaves. And I never liked the Russians. And this pastor, he came to me and said, "When do you come to my church?" I said, "Never." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I don't like Russians. You know, Germans, they are not so polite like you Texas people. Germans, sometimes they straight in your face. And I'm used to that. That's why I always a little unsure in America. Are they telling me the truth now or not? Or are they just polite?" He said, "Why do you you didn't like us?" I said, "Because your army was 30 years in our country." "Yeah, but you have to understand what you did to our country. I mean, there was 50 million Russians or 60 million Russians killed in World War II. You know, I think so it was. I'm not sure. I take it back. I'm not sure. Was it 20 or was it? But anyway, even if it's a million, it's a lot, you know. So I said, "No, I'm not coming." And I went to my hotel room and tried to sleep. Couldn't sleep. Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Next morning, I hardly hadn't slept. So I came to him, I said, where's your calendar? Let us set up a date. And then I was on my way to Russia. And when I came to Russia, I just came from Tucson, Arizona, pretty hot there, in the hundreds. And I came to Siberia, it was minus 45 degrees Celsius. I became sick when I stepped out of that plane. The hotel room, the temperature was going only to 60. I prayed, and by the way, they let me preach on the same day when I landed. I was flying the whole night through, and I had to preach 5 sermons on one day. I probably was the sickest person in that conference. I was the only speaker. And I couldn't say, I'm sick, I have to stay in bed. Because there was people, they was walking days to come to that service. There was people, they took a whole week in a train to come to this conference. I could not sit and lay in my bed. I said, Jesus, please heal me. And I took every medicine I could. After 3 days, when on the last meeting, I was healed. You know, that was good. But I when I came in the first meeting, I was so tired. I was sick. But when I came into this building and I saw this 2,000 people praising with their whole heart, I saw these pure Christians, this purity. In the West, you don't see that much often. I don't blame the West. Don't misunderstand me. I don't blame myself. What I prayed there was one prayer. I said, God, deliver me from myself, from my ego, from my flesh, so that I can become your mouth, your hand, your servant. And we had great meetings. People got healed. People got delivered. People got good teaching. And I said to my pastor's friend, I said, what did you do? What is the secret? How do you build this church? I mean, if you live in an area where by 10 o'clock sun goes up and by 3 o'clock sun goes down and it's cold every day, I mean, how can a person live there? And you built a church and they all stayed. They didn't move to a more sunny place. He said, I did nothing, just preach the word. But he said, probably there's one reason. And he brought me to a place. And there was a lot of little stones. And on that place, there was a mass grave. And there was buried 200,000 bodies in that mass grave. He said, you know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed for the church. He said, there are people before me. They paid a high price. What you see here is just a result of what they did. So these stones, and there was 3 of these mass graves in that city. What I'm saying is, if we don't praise God, the stones will. You know, it cost me a lot, not only to preach the gospel, to go from place to place. Traveling is not easy today. It's really not fun. You need protection, you need money, you need, you need God really. But I'm here this morning to declare that God will your needs all the time. Make yourself available for him so that this community can reach with the gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for this great church. I thank you this church will have a comeback after COVID, a massive comeback. Father, bless this church and bless these leaders. I bless you. Bless them. Protect them. and fill every chair, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. There's a lot of fake churches, placebo churches out there. They look like it, but it's not the real deal. I know this is a great church. This is the real deal. Bless this church. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.